You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and producer. I have a couple of kids in their 20s and a big German Shepherd. That's my status this week, Liz.
Okay, well, that's been pretty consistent over the weeks, Leanne, so that's good. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. I'm the middle sister hanging out here in my second bedroom slash office slash production studio for Satellite Sisters, and I'm good this week, sisters. More on that later. Julie?
That's a good report, Liz. This is Julie. I'm the oldest sister. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm a grandmother. I have five grandchildren. I'm very happy about that. And the big news I want to share is I painted my closet, which is where I am right now, and it's looking really good. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really? That's that's nice.
That's nice. A fresh coat of paint. I got it going. Yes.
And then did you just move all the crap back in? Is that what happened?
Leanne, I tried really hard not to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have done some editing.
Okay.
Been good for the moment. Yes.
I know you're going to get
all builds up again. Yes.
I know you're going to get back in those blue jeans from 1973. Hang on to those. Actually, you probably can. All right. We have a full show this week. Later on in the show, we're going to be speaking to writer and performer Annabelle Gurwitch. She has a really wonderful collection of essays out now. You're Leaving When? Adventures in Downward Mobility. The thing about talking to Annabelle is she's always like right out there with everything. So she covers a lot of topics that I think people are going through in midlife, particularly this year. But she does it with, you know, empathy and with an edge and a great sense of humor. So we'll be talking to Annabelle Gurwitch about that. We have a bunch of entertaining sisters recommendations that are animal related. So that's excited.
Yes. <Isn't it>? Entertaining animals. Why not?
All right. And then my husband's birthday is in 2 days. I am taking all suggestions for what to get him because I'm out. 28 years. I'm done. I peaked last year. I can't, I got nothing else. So that will be later on in the show. First though, I felt like it was a very heavy week in America last week with all of the gun violence and the death and just bad news. We had some terrible murders here in Los Angeles. I just found it very heavy and I was trying to take a couple days off and I managed to do that. And Sunday I watched, I walked the dog and gardened, but in the afternoon I found myself alone in my house, which is pretty unusual these days. And so I thought I'm going to watch an Oscar nominated film and just
for
let
you.
This all sink in. My first of the year. And I watched Nomadland. Mm-hmm. Which I know, Liz, you spoke about.
Yeah.
But it just was sort of the perfect meditative film after this very heavy week in the country because it is such a powerful film about loss and grief and home and mobility and life and memory. I just found it's very slow.
Okay.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah. When you say meditative, that's just a positive spin on super slow too.
Yeah.
So just get ready for that.
Have a cup of coffee before you watch it.
Or not.
Definitely.
Or go the other way.
Yeah. but I found it very healing in a weird way. It was like kind of helped me deal with a lot of the heaviness last week. So I was grateful that I did watch it. It's beautiful, lyrical filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And seeing it's the only Oscar nominated film I've seen, I'm picking it for all the awards.
Okay.
So that's it. But I would.
Leanne, I also saw that you tweeted something about wanting Frances McDormand to wear those overalls to the Oscars.
Yes. I hope that happens.
Because you wore overalls, Leanne. There was a period where that was one of your signature.
That was your look.
No shame. No shame in the mid-90s. I embraced the overall. Sure. No. But anyway, I just found it so sort of healing for last week. So I was grateful to have watched it. It's beautiful filmmaking.
Well, sisters, did you watch Prince Philip's funeral service this weekend?
I did watch that, yes.
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I was really moved by that. I mean, of course, like many have commented, the image of Queen Elizabeth alone with her head bowed was just so poignant, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she was grieving the loss of her lifetime partner, but I just thought this ceremony was so stark and so simple, and that, you know, I felt like I was really connecting with a woman who was experiencing grief. And so many of us have experienced grief this year. Mm-hmm. You know, it was familiar, you know, it was just, it seemed sort of strangely comforting to watch a beautiful funeral service. Do you know what I mean? That it just, because I've missed funeral services for a number of friends who have passed away this year, and where you couldn't be in person, you know, or you're just restrained by this virus from actually comforting people in grief.
Yeah.
I also found it very satisfying to be watching a religious service. I mean, right. we haven't been able to attend a lot of religious services, and, you know, it's really important, and I really, really miss it. It's just not the same on TV. And to hear that beautiful music, again, that really, you know, it was such a reminder to me of how much I've missed live music and mm-hmm. how comforting and uplifting, and as you were saying, Lee, and healing.
Right.
You know, we try not to focus on all the loss that's been going on in the last year and a half. But, you know, in that moment, it was just this great thing. And so rest in peace, Prince Philip. I thought it was time well spent. I really enjoyed
yeah. that. Yeah. You know, in a weird way, Julie, I was happy for them that they could just have themselves at the service. That's the part of it that I liked, that there weren't 800 people there. It was just the family, and it wasn't even the whole family. So that was sad, but I thought they deserved some time alone together. So that part of it I thought was better than just having a big, you know, state funeral ceremonial bash, you know, anyway. So yeah, it was very beautiful. Well, as long as we're talking about what is uplifting, you know, I've been working on my hashtag little victories every week. Since I crushed old lefty here, my left leg. And so I have this week's little victory, I think could be a major turning point in my recovery.
Oh, good. What happened?
Yeah, yes. What's up? Well, as I've mentioned, my orthopedic surgeon is super mean, right? Super mean.
Yes.
And every time I see him, he just is constantly using words like aggressive. You need to be more aggressive in your PT. And Leon, you were there at the last appointment. He said he theorized that the PTs I was working with were, his word, the medical word for it was weenies. He said, right. I think you need to work with people who aren't weenies. And then he used the key word that did get my attention. Instead of saying be more aggressive, he said, you need to work with someone who's more athletic. And I was like, yes, I do. That's me.
That's your
right?
lane. That's your lane, Liz. You've been in the wrong lane.
I've been in the recovery from accident lane. But he's like, I think if you worked with someone more athletic, that it would be better for you. And then he suggested a specific practice. So that's where I went this weekend. And I met the beast. That's all I'm going to call her. I'm not going to use her real name. She was just perfect. I mean, and that's the beast in the best possible way. So she kept having me try things. She's like, well, has anyone made you do this yet? And I'd be like, no. She's like, okay, you got to do more of that. You got to do more of that. Anyway, after about an hour of working with the beast, I felt like, okay, this is it. I feel like now I am on a better path.
Oh,
so there you go. I mean, I was on an okay path, but it was just starting to get to me. And so maybe even just changing with the right. plan is what I needed now anyway. Anyway, that is my little victory this week, was meeting the beast, embracing the beast. I'm just moving forward now in a more athletic way. It's not aggressive. It's athletic. There you go.
I feel a whole new product line coming.
Yes, I know. She's in training now. Yes, indeed. There's going to be a brand that comes out of it.
Okay.
Well, you know, I had a kind of a good moment this week too. Here was the scene. It was at my grocery store. It was in the checkout line at my grocery store. And the woman in front of me asked if I was a satellite sister. Now, I had a mask on.
Really?
She had a mask on. I know, Liz and Leanne. That was surprising, because I don't know how she could even identify me with the mask, but she did. She said that she heard Leanne and I speak in Dallas. Okay, oh. Leanne, how about that? And she became a listener after hearing us speak. She ends up that she lives in the same neighborhood that I do. So you can see this whole conversation is going so well until I realized what it was that I had on the belt at the checkout line. Now in her groceries, I saw a lot of fruits, vegetables, lean meats, perhaps some whole grains. My purchase consisted of 3 large bags of candy and 2 bottles of wine. Okay. Oh, it looked so bad. She was being so nice. I was like, oh my gosh. So here's my question to you, sisters. Do you ever feel like you need to explain to the people in front of you or behind you, like why you are buying what it is you're buying? Or should just... No,
I think in that scenario, yes.
I'm curious. Why were you buying 3 bags of candy? I gave you candy once 10 years ago. I think you still have it. Who's the candy for?
Well, as it turned out, as I mentioned, it was my son's birthday.
Okay.
And we were going to have a pinata.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. This was candy and a little libations for the birthday party.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Okay.
So it made sense. But if you didn't know me, you would just think, there she is, middle of the day.
So the key question is, did you explain it to your new friend?
No, I did not explain it, but I really felt like I needed to explain it. So I hope she's listening to this podcast, because that's why I had those items. Maybe she didn't notice, but I noticed. I'm sure she noticed. Yes. Yeah.
So one time I was in line at the grocery store behind Dr. Drew Pinsky, who was a radio host and famously ran the rehab facility here in Pasadena. And, you know, was a doctor that appears on national TV, but we had met him at several radio conferences. So I was going to say, hey, Drew, hi, Leanne Dolan. But I looked down and I had like 5 bottles of vodka on my, it was like 8:20 in the morning.
Busted.
Because we were making like a cocktail for, of course, a school parent party. So it was all bad. And I was like, I'm going to hide behind this People magazine. I hope he doesn't recognize me, because I am buying just complete vodka at 8. And I don't even drink vodka anyway. So yes, so I have felt that pressure to explain.
Yes.
Okay. So we're off the hook. We're both off the hook now. Julie, yours is very innocent. Well, that's nice. It's nice that you met.
Yes.
Yeah, nice that you met a satellite sister.
Where very exciting. Very uplifting.
All right, coming up on the show, we're going to be speaking with Annabelle Gurwitch. She's a writer and performer. You know her from NPR and her various TV appearances. Her latest book is You're Leaving When: Adventures in Downward Mobility. And we're going to be talking to Annabelle when we get back. But first, we have a couple of words from our sponsors.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
I love watching my husband's face because I got him a subscription at Christmas. And, you know, he doesn't take a lot of risks with his wardrobe, but why not with your MeUndies? And every month I'm like, go ahead, open it. See what you're getting this month. It's just exciting.
It's just a small pleasure. Yeah, I really, MeUndies really taught me that underwear can be fun. You know, I think I had never really embraced like, yeah, having little tiny sloths on my super comfy boy shorts. Why not? Why not do that?
Why not, Liz? Never run out of undies or worry about skipping laundry again with a MeUndies membership. Each month, replenish your basics and build your collection with styles that are anything but basic. Styles that let you be the truest version of yourself, right down to your core. And Liz, maybe that's a sloth. I don't know. But no pressure. You can always skip a month if you want. Plus, if you're a member, you enjoy discounted pricing, controlled shipping, and an exclusive early access. Love your butt and get the membership. Okay, MeUndies. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/sisters. That's MeUndies.com/sisters. Thanks, MeUndies. MeUndies.com/sisters for 15% off your first order and free shipping. Thanks, MeUndies. We are happy to welcome back to Satellite Sisters, Annabelle Gurwitch. She's a writer and performer, and her latest collection of essays, You're Leaving When? Adventures in Downward Mobility, is literally hilarious and heartbreaking. Annabelle, we're happy to have you back at Satellite Sisters. Thanks for writing this hilarious and heartbreaking book.
Oh, well, thanks for being, I consider you my Satellite Sisters. I feel very proprietary over you all.
Good.
Thank you.
You guys are living my dream, the dream of having many sisters. And of course, as you know, that's one of the things that this book is populated with, which is sisterhood and friendships that are very sustaining, I feel, at this point in life. It's one of the big investments that actually pays off.
I know that's true, a fantastic way to put it. Liz, I feel like you're a winner in the friendship payoff.
Thank you, Leanne. Yeah.
I mean, I
stay in touch with my friends. We plan things together. I mean, that's true, but you know, Julie and Leanne, both of you do that too, but you're right about the payoff, Annabelle, you know, that like friendships are sustaining, especially in the last year. Oh my God, what would we have done without, you know, just the touching base with the friends and the people that send you little unexpected notes or whatever it happens to be. Yeah. Friends.
Yeah. You know, it's this thing that I think that has happened through the pandemic. And, you know, I just coincidentally, you know, wrote about this in my book that I started before the pandemic. I was editing it and I did have a mind to the mindset of pandemic life as I was editing this book. But I think at a certain point in your life, at least that's what happened with me, you know, other identities were falling away. Divorce, no longer a wife, my kid went off to college, so I'm no longer a daily motherhood, my parents both died, so I'm no longer a caregiver. Even some of the friendships that were more transactional friendships with, you know, people who we were raising our kids together, those just naturally came to an end. And then, you know, what was left is, you know, having to reckon with, I don't know, it sounds so serious, but, you know, this identity at this stage of life of who I am as a person. And actually these friendships become even more important. People who have witnessed all of these stages in your life. And then also, you know, the idea that I think is sometimes a little terrifying, but like making new friendships and
it's terrifying. And
that's something,
it is.
I know it's terrifying, but that's also something that I did when some of these other relationships fell away by, you know, joining a writer's collective with a shared office, you know, so that I would be around other people in a naturally, you know, just putting myself in situations where I would be surrounded by people, some of whom I became very close to, some still just people I waved to across the room. And of course, then COVID comes, we don't have that. So that's why actually in the book I write about, I included a chapter about my online open houses, inviting strangers into my Zooms, which was much more personal and intimate than I expected. But, you know, all these things I think are values that are beyond the values of monetary things that, you know, sometimes, at least I found, have let you down. You can't count on those, on that to, you know, like if there's a problem, throw money at it. Sometimes in life, there simply isn't the money you can throw at it, but you have to throw, you know, friends at it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, as long as we're talking about friends, there is a hilarious chapter about one of my fantasies, Annabelle, and that is your fantasy of having a tiny house village with your friends as you get older. And then as you go through the chapter, one by one, the friends kind of fall away. So what do you think about that plan? Could that really work, the tiny house village plan?
Okay, you know, I think all of us, I feel like we all get the same feeds on our social networks and, yes, and ads, like in whatever we go to on the web, you know, whatever you're talking about, basically the computer hears you and then sends you that. So, you know, I'll be stalked by the same pair of boots for 4 years, you know, it's so hilarious. Or like my secret, you know, Googling of skincare creams. I get every ridiculous thing. And then I also get stories of women who've bought a house together so they can go off and retire, or we bought a tiny home row in so-and-so. I mean, I get these things and I just feel like some of these stories, I'm not sure what they're selling us. I'm actually not sure what it is that is for sale there. But I think it's basically like, I'd like, please tell me what happened to these people a year later. And the homicide that occurred at the intentional community, and sadly, I feel like it's a little improbable. I mean, the funny thing is that chapter is a total satire. That's the only one that didn't actually happen in life that made its way into the book. But I felt like it deserved to be there in a memoir, because it's a fantasy that I play out all the time, how it's going to go. That fantasy is going to go down in flames. And I just think it's a little bit difficult because we don't, you know, unless we're the last people on earth, all of us have attachments, children, family, elsewhere. How are we going to find a location? And then, you know, I'm the first one that's going to get the boot, because I realized during COVID, this is one of those things we find out about ourselves. I hum and sing to myself while I write, do chores.
Really?
Basically, yes, a lot.
Oh, that's annoying. Yeah, you're out.
It's so annoying.
I'm disqualified.
Well, this book really hits a lot of touch points of midlife. And one is this sort of expectation versus reality, where you thought you might be and where you actually ended up. And that for you is the starting point for this book. Like, do you say things fell apart or things just spun out of control? How do you describe the impetus of this book? The divorce, the losing your health insurance.
Well, you know, it's funny. Well, you know, when people list the things, I sometimes say like, oh my God, what happened to this person?
I know.
Like, oh, this was me. Oh, okay. Well, because in some ways, you know, I'm setting this up, you know, with all of the, what might be called and what I thought at the time were losses. And some of these things were losses. Our parents, my parents, both, left. Of course, they were, you know, in their early 80s. This isn't a tragedy, but it is a big life. It's a moment when identities are shifting. So in that sense, you know, and I do try to make this clear, what's happened in my life that was the precursor to this book was this thing, the same thing that happens to everybody. Your identity shifts. At a certain point, it's like immutable. You're not going backwards. And, you know, it's something I also write about sometimes is what I think of as the women's resilience prison. You're sentenced to, like, you know, you've got to be resilient. Take two resiliences and call me in the morning. Well, right. That sort of implies, the implication of that language is that you're going to get right back up on that horse. Maybe that horse is gone. Maybe right. What you need to loot, oh my God, this, I sound like some kind of like ridiculous, maybe you need to learn to ride a bike. But I mean, I really mean it's true. Like you just can't return to the way you lived before when your kids grow. Well, of course I do write about kids boomeranging and coming back to live at home. And yet still that's different than when they were. And that's part of the whole negotiation of this different phase in your life where you really can't return to somehow the old ways that you worked before. Yeah. And so the identity shifts are sometimes things you just, that's why I make the distinction, like I said, about resilience versus adaptability. You know, you have to really learn to adapt to this new part of life. The one thing that is, I would say the, you know, the crisis, but again, it's not just my crisis that really started the downward mobility in my life. Again, something many people are sharing, and particularly after COVID,
right.
Or I shouldn't say after COVID. We're not really after COVID. We're in it still. We will be feeling the effects for many years, and definitely the effects economically, as well as all the intense suffering many people have gone through. But this, you know, what really started like what I write about my austerity budget was losing my health insurance that was, I got through my employers that's union, that's sponsored by our union and the Writers Guild Union in this case. And, you know, 5 million people, at least it's estimated, lost their employer-sponsored healthcare during March of 2020. So that's mm-hmm. about a year ago. And, you know, our nation's reliance on that is, that's a problem. You know, I mean, that system is just not coming back. And that creates, you know, everyone in America is one bad diagnosis away from economic insecurity. And that's a real issue that we have as Americans that many people in the Western world do not share because their country has a different idea of a safety net and also just basic human dignity.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Annabelle, I definitely want to, you write a lot, the theme throughout is this downward mobility and how you were dealing with it. And it's fascinating to me because it's something that people don't really talk about openly. There's so much shame about like not having enough money to pay for the life you used to have. And you have a lot of comedy in the various borders you take in your home, yeah. And all of that. You yeah. certainly milk it for everything it's worth, but there's a lot of shame around putting yourself out there or even admitting to people. And we saw this in our family because our parents went through a dramatic economic reversal in the late 70s, early 80s during that recession. And they never found a plan B. They never, like you were saying, okay, now you need to ride a bicycle instead. You know, we saw our parents go through that and they never adjusted after the fact. And so what's poignant and, you know, hilarious about your book is just the endless attempts to adjust.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when you say that, I think, oh my God, I wish I had known other people were going through that when they were growing up and watching their parents go through that because it was such a taboo subject. And I really saw my parents suffer because of that. My mom in particular was just, you know, as they lost the, and let's just say here, this was a certain amount of privilege that, you you know, yes. when mm-hmm. they could no longer afford the country clubs, right? Right. And, you know, but so what is that about? I mean, you know, just as the long view outside of the Gerwich family malaise, you know, that's that my mom felt that this was the message she had, that you got to a certain point and then you stayed there. And this was so embarrassing. She couldn't then say, oh, I had this at one point, and even ask herself why that was so important to her. And then, you know, okay, back to the public courts. Like, it, you know, these, the way that her identity was so wrapped up in status. I mean, that is even more important than, of course, you know, losing the money for the membership.
Right,
And watching her suffer for that was something I never wanted to do. So I think I worried that, you know, do I tend towards the overshare, you know, because of that? Like, you know, like I'm an open book. Of course, there are things I don't write about in my writing, so I'm not really an open book, but I do feel this is something that I've always been interested in writing. And this is my book that really, I really go for it in that sense. And I, in this topic, and it's directly because I saw my mom mm-hmm. suffer from, and you know what it did, and this is really the effect, besides the depression and the sleeping in the afternoons and the her own personal shame. Well, the effect of that was that it separated her from other people. Right. And that is where I think you find a comfort. I mean, she did do a few things that were really quite extraordinary now, I think, in terms of like someone who suffered so much of that shame. She joined some local organization for marginalized women, and that they were attempting to give marginalized women and women who are victims of domestic violence a voice in the community she lived in. So she did do some things, but she felt she had to separate from her community, people she really liked, because she couldn't live at that standard, and she didn't want them to know, and that was crushing. So that's been a goal of mine, is to say, is there a life? How do we live a life where we don't, you know, and that means really looking at your own values. And this all sounds really hilarious, just hilarious, but you know, and also, but like looking at how you judge other people. I mean, right. it's a top to bottom point of view, but it does lead to comedy. Like I write in the book about the story about when I accidentally found myself flying I bought it on Kayak, a really inexpensive ticket on a semi-private jet. And I realized, of course,
I didn't even know that was possible. That whole story, I had to read it several times. I'm like, what is happening? How did she get on this plane?
It was all just a total accident. And of course, no one was more surprised than me. I bought this, what was called an empty leg seat from LA to Oakland, and I was sure it meant I was going to be carrying, like it was a medical transport, and I was going to be carrying a body part in a cooler. And, you know, the thing is, one thing I really learned is, you know, there's that saying, like, it's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. It is not better to have experienced the luxury of private travel, because once you've done that, you are scarred for life by how fantastic it is. Yeah. And then it, you know, when you're treated like a boiled egg, I felt like I was a soft boiled egg being carried along. And I realized what a nicer person I was when I was treated that way. And then I had to you need to really look at yourself, Annabelle. It was very bracing. It was like a slap in the face with a very nice mink glove.
Yes. All right, Annabelle, I want to move on to something else you've been working on. The book is fantastic and funny, and yes, we'll have links to it in our show notes, but aww, I am loving your podcast. You do a podcast called Tiny Victories, And you may not know that I badly broke my leg earlier this year, and I've been doing a series on the show called Little Victories, because, you know, when you have a major setback, then if my little victory in a day is getting my left sock on, I am going to celebrate that, Annabelle. That's what I'm doing in my life now. And so your show is so great. It's 15 minutes of just celebrating minor accomplishments and fleeting joys. Why did you decide to do that? It's so great.
The thing about it is, you know, it's a short podcast. It's a tiny podcast. It's 15 minutes long. I felt like that would be a good thing, particularly during the pandemic, when there's a lot of, free floating anxiety. And for people who don't know exactly what that means, it means it's like your attention, you're very anxious, but you also are going like, oh, shiny object, I'll put my anxiety there. Oh, let me do this. It's very fragmented time, even though time sort of opened up into like a large chasm. So I thought, okay, short podcast. And then, you know, the idea is that sort of the criteria or the threshold for the victories we share. And I just want to mention that we have a tiny victory hotline. And I'm going to give out the number, as a matter of fact. But the thing about it is that, you know, when we say tiny, sometimes, I mean, look, getting your sock on after you've broken a leg is a big victory. It's just the thing is about it is that it's not going to be headline news in the New York Times. That's what makes it tiny, is that it might be big for you, but it's not maybe earth changing, you know, and yet we need these small benchmarks. I think that's how we experience joy, particularly when greater joys have left us. So I want to mention the hotline, because people call us with like the best stories, and it's everything from like, I did something like put a sock on, to things like, you know, there's a great story someone shared. They live actually not far from me in Silver Lake, which is part of Los Angeles. And their chickens, their urban chickens, escaped the hatch. And the neighbors, this is during COVID, the neighbors who had all really disliked those chickens, when they asked the neighbors if they'd seen the chickens, the whole little neighborhood street got together, masked, and went searching for the chickens.
I loved that episode. Yes.
I just love this moment that they were brought together. And so we have the hotline, and if I can give the number.
Yeah, give the number. I'm writing it down.
It's 323. 285-1675. That's the Tiny Victory Hotline, 323-285-1675. And it's really fun also just to also hear what other people consider a tiny victory. And that's, you know, it's sort of a tiny victory community. And and part of the whole thing is also just to cultivate a frame of mind where you are thinking, oh, is there a tiny victory during my day? So it may be that you're not noticing those things. And by listening to the show, we help you to, and when I say we, I mean, I help myself to remember to notice little things, because, you know, I always think, you know, what do I know? I'm not a licensed therapist. I've been to a lot of therapy. I'm not a licensed author. You know, what do I know? I just feel like I write about things and I create a podcast because it's something that I believe I need in my life. And I consider myself a very ordinary person. So I think, well, if it means something to me, so it's been really satisfying to.
Thank you. Well, Annabelle, both the book and the podcast are doing a lot to lift us up here in the Satellite Sisterhood. So we thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you for joining us today. It's always great to talk to you. I know you have a busy virtual schedule, but we'll put links to everything at satellitesisters.com, and we'll spread the link love around. Thank you, Annabelle. Good luck with everything.
Good luck.
Thank you, sisters.
Bye.
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 Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Okay, sisters. It's good to talk to Annabelle. She's been through a lot.
She's really been through a lot in the last two years.
So it's just a pleasure to hear her honesty about some really tough topics. So thank you, Annabelle, for being on the show.
Yeah, she puts it out there. That's what I enjoy about Annabelle. She's not afraid to talk about how poorly things are going, you know?
Yeah, okay. I know. All right, so all information on Annabelle is going to be at satellitesisters.com. Also, I wanted to remind people that my book, The Sweeney Sisters, is out in paperback. It's got a special book club guide in the back of the paperback edition, and I'm happy to do book clubs for you. So you just want to go to my website, leandolan.com, and there's a contact sheet, and just let me know if you want me to appear at your Zoom book club. I'm happy to do that. Or I have a couple of book clubs already scheduled. You and your book club can just jump on my already scheduled book club on June 3rd and June 16th. I'm doing it through Crowdcast, and there will be a link in the show notes, and I will spread the link around on social media and at my website. But just perfectly made for book clubs. Just join in. You don't have to plan anything. Just I'll be there and I can answer all your questions. So those are two book club events for people who have read the Sweeney Sisters. And thanks to everybody who shared the photos. I really, really appreciate it.
That's
really
fun. So people don't have to wait to just bump into you in a grocery store line. They can actually just book you. That's a nice service you're providing. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Liz. All right. And okay, so now the big question of the day is, what do I get my husband for his birthday?
I think it's good that you put it out to the satellite sister and Mr. Hood. Okay. Because they're great with gift ideas, Leanne. So,
right. Yeah.
So don't look at us, because I don't want to suggest something. And then if your husband doesn't like it, you would blame it on me. Well, you want me to, see, I don't want that pressure. Yeah.
I don't worry about the blame. I just think your husband doesn't have a lot of needs.
He doesn't have a lot of needs.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I have to identify hidden needs. It's like the MeUndies subscription has been a good gift. Mm-hmm. That was a highlight. Last year, I got him a subscription to Spotify, his own subscription.
He enjoys that. Yeah.
Yes. I got him the Spotify and then a nice little Bose speaker that he can move around with him, to his office or to the garage when he's working out there. And that has been a high point of gift giving for me.
Yeah.
He has really, really enjoyed that. So I'm looking to replicate that. So if you're listening to this and you can answer within 2 days, because it's just in a couple of days. So don't waste any time. You know, he does like cars. He does like running. He does like working out in the yard. He doesn't like gadgets of any kind. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't run with anything. He'd rather just use a shovel and an axe. He doesn't need any special gadgets, but I'm just telling you, that's what he likes. So,
okay. Those are good guidelines, Lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
he doesn't even listen to music when he runs?
No, never.
Wow.
No.
And he's a hardcore runner. That's a lot of miles just in your own head. Good for him.
He likes it that way. That's
Obviously he does. I admire that.
He does, Liz, he doesn't want any outside guidance for what his mental brainwave should be. He's not interested in a meditation class or a yoga class, organized religion. The list of things, prayer, the things he doesn't care about are vast. But he goes out there and he runs his 10 miles all in his head. That's what, you know, does that long run on Sundays or
Yep. Okay.
So that's it. I'll take any and all suggestions. You can go to, I'll start a thread at the Facebook group.
Good idea.
All right. Last week I reported on the show that I was interested in going to the zoo on my day off. Guess what? I made it to the zoo.
So, did you enjoy it?
This is Entertaining Sisters, and it was entertaining. Julie, it was just delightful. I mean, again, I really haven't been out or gone anyplace. We've had most places here have been closed in Los Angeles. Or just recently reopened. And so I'm glad we made our advance reservations. Julie, you told me to do that. I did that because it did sell out. I went with my son, Colin. We spent two delightful hours at the zoo. It was perfect. You know, the LA Zoo is straight uphill. It is a very hilly zoo. And that's what I remember from schlepping the kids when I was little, was that you just had to just run to the top because by the end of the day, you were just exhausted and you needed the downhill to get the toddlers home. And when I saw those young moms pushing those double strollers and slapping those juice boxes in front of those kids, I mean, it just all came back to me. It's just so nice that Colin could just walk on his own.
Yes, he can. At his age, imagine that.
Yes. No, but here's the entertaining part. So we're enjoying the zoo, but he had also the night before seen the Snyder Cut of Justice League. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you don't have a 30 or below in your house that loves superhero movies. Okay. So this is what director Zack Snyder, after he dropped out of the Justice League for personal reasons, he went back in and did his own 4-hour cut of the movie. The movie is 4 hours long, Julie. Did I mention that? It's a 4-hour cut.
Okay.
So Colin finally took the 4 hours and watched it. So the good news is I got a 2-hour movie review while at the zoo.
Okay.
Wow. That's lots to talk about.
What is the recommendation?
The recommendation is he had 4 hours to produce a single moment of human emotion and couldn't do it. That is... he didn't love it. I could say he didn't love it.
Apparently not. Yes.
He didn't love the movie. And he's a real Batman fan. And he said the fact that Batman isn't Batman till an hour and 45 minutes into the movie is wrong. So there you go. But we had a lot of fun. It was a good double date, Colin, me, and Zack Snyder and the animals.
I'm going to tuck away that review. At some point, I'll meet somebody who's under 30, and I'm gonna pass that by. I'm going to sound really cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Lord. You have a strong opinion about the Snyder Cut.
Yes.
Is what I recommend.
Okay.
Well, Leon, your visit to the zoo, and you posted some photos on your own Facebook page, right? Or was it Instagram? Some of your favorite animals at the zoo had me thinking about animals for Entertaining Sisters this week. And then there were two things that popped up that I thought I must recommend. The first is a new 4-part series called Secrets of the Whales, which is on National Geographic and Disney Plus, because, you know, Disney now owns National Geographic. So this is an unbelievably gorgeous 4-part documentary series about whales are just like us. That's the lesson. Whales are just like us. Whales have families. Whales have feelings. You know, whales learn things. Whales teach their kids things. They spent 3 years filming it. It's filmed all over the world, you know, New Zealand, Patagonia, Arctic Canada, the Cook Islands, Antarctica, just unbelievably gorgeous filming, as you would expect, and all kinds of whales. You know, you got your humpbacks, you got your narwhals, you got a lot of whales here. It's the Secrets of the Whales. And it is, it's beautiful to watch. It's very informative. But it's also very emotional, you know, like when you see, I get really emotional at these nature films, when you see like a mother whale trying to save a baby whale that has been all that stuff. It really gets to you. So it has a lot of emotional ups and downs, which is very well done. One section, Leanne, is when
as opposed to the Snyder Cut list.
The Snyder Cut,
It sounds like Secrets of the Whales is more emotionally on point than
much
the
more.
Cut.
And these are human emotions just acted out by whales. You know,
is it too intense for children, Liz?
No, I don't think it is. Okay. No, because there's nothing that is really awful that they show you, but there is, it's a circle of life, Julie, circle of life. And there is like one section when the beluga whales are like moving through the ice pack up in the Arctic, and there are bears there, Lee. And I know you love the bears.
Yeah.
But the bears versus the belugas, that's a struggle. You know, the polar bears, obviously. But anyway, so I just really, really recommend it. And I saw an advanced screening online, but it premieres this week on Earth Day. You know, the April 22nd is Earth Day. So it premieres on Disney Plus and Nat Geo. And there's a lot to learn from this. Oh, and the narrator, I didn't even mention that yet. You know how on our special show last weekend, when Heather Moran from Sixth and I asked us who should play us in the movie?
Yeah,
that was a good question. Of the Satellite Sisters? Yeah. That was a good question. I never really thought about that before.
Me neither.
I don't know why I said Sigourney Weaver, but Sigourney Weaver was just on my mind. I don't know why. I think it's because she was in that great episode of Call My Agent, Call Your Agent, whatever it is.
Yeah,
she was fantastic. Anyway, Sigourney Weaver narrates Secrets of the Whales. So I guess maybe I just knew that there was some Sigourney in my future. Anyway, so I totally recommend that, Secrets of the Whales. The other thing is an Oscar-nominated documentary called My Octopus Teacher. Have either of you heard about this or seen this?
No.
I've heard about it. I have not, again, have not seen anything.
You would have to like tales of underwater creatures, you know, because this is basically a documentary about a guy in South Africa who just starts swimming like for his own mental health, but bonds with this octopus who lives there, and he swims every single day. So he's free diving. He's not a scuba diver. He's free diving and filming this octopus. And it's about the relationship he develops with this octopus.
Wow. Which,
and it's really, the octopus stuff is beautiful. The guy, I don't care so much about. The octopus I thought was really interesting. And anyway, it's maybe it'll win an Oscar this weekend. I don't know, but it's called My Octopus Teacher. And I forget where you can watch it. I think it's on Hulu or Netflix or something. I'll check on that and put it in the show notes. But there you go. You got your whales and you got your octopuses.
Okay. Well, as long as we're talking about animals, I have to mention the birds, because it started April 19th and runs through May 7th. It is a campaign that's called Lights Out Texas. And the reason we're having a Lights Out Texas, Leanne and Liz, do you realize a billion birds migrate, do a spring migration through Texas during this period?
A billion
with a B, birds. Okay. This is when they come through, but unfortunately when they fly at night, most of the birds fly at night. And the reason they fly at night is because of raptors. Okay. That would attack them and eat them. So, and the raptors fly mainly during the day. So most of the birds are, a billion birds are flying at night. And a lot of them are crashing into office buildings and other structures. So, so they've started a campaign here in Texas to have, you know, to have people turn off office buildings, big lights, big structures, so that the birds, which navigate by the moon and the stars, can just make it on through and head back north. We got a billion birds coming through. I really want to get up in the middle of the night and see if I can see some of this. I don't know. But isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay. So they like to fly at night. It's also less turbulent air at night. And it makes it easier for some of the small birds, more efficient. You know, they got a long way to go. But one out of three birds in this part of the world will be traveling through Texas between April 19th and May 7th.
Oh, okay.
And you know, Julie, birds have really helped us during the pandemic.
Yes.
So I think we need to do everything we can to get as many of these birds on their way and not crash into buildings.
Okay. All right. It looks like, according to the New York Times, that this is a, sort of a national program in other cities too. They're trying to help these birds out. So, so good for Texas and good for everybody else. Okay, Julie, that's very interesting. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for bringing that to Satellite Sisters.
Okay, and I looked it up. My octopus teacher is on Netflix. Just FYI. Okay. Again,
good work.
Put
good
it
work.
In the notes. Okay.
See, real-time fact-checking. That's how hard we work for you.
I also just fact-checked raptors. I didn't know raptors were real. I don't know. I just thought raptors were
it's a
like
classification of birds, Liz. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I thought they were like old dinosaurs.
No.
That were
no,
extinct.
Liz, no. Okay. I'm talking about birds. I'm going to at least try to use the right terms. Okay.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Were you not the chief marketing officer of National Geographic?
Sorry. No, I got the whales covered, Lee, and a lot of other animal categories. Big cats. Okay. You want the cats of the Kalahari? I got you covered. But okay. Raptors, okay. I don't know.
Study up on raptors, Liz. Okay.
All right. That is it for our show today. We would like to thank our engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thanks, Sergio, for always making us sound great. Thanks to our graphic designer, Emily Loudermilk, for her terrific artwork that accompanies every show and on our social media. You can find us at Sat Sisters. If you're not following us on Instagram, please do. We post Emily's graphics there every week. A big thanks to our sponsors and thanks to you for supporting our sponsors. It really does allow us to do this show. Thank you for supporting Satellite Sisters and Women's Voices on the Air.
And sisters and misters, we would love it if you would rate and review Satellite Sisters, especially if you're still feeling the glow from the big anniversary show. Now would be the perfect time to write a review. I was looking, there's a really good one on Apple Podcasts that just got posted last week, sisters. Madge 52, thank you very much. What she wrote is, if I could give this podcast 100 stars, I would do so.
Aww,
thanks, Madge 52. So anyone else, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever, posting a review really helps us and give us those 5 stars. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, sisters, time for our to-do list. I know for me, it's all about getting together the Satellite Sisters Beach Bag Books list. So I am reading books. I am listening to books. I am buying books at independent bookstores to bring to you. So we're putting that list together. That'll be out probably in early June, but I have a lot of reading to do to get the list together. So suggestions welcome, Liz and Julie. Suggestions welcome.
Okay.
Liz, what about you?
I am getting my second shot this week, sisters.
Oh, that's great.
I'm very excited about that. Get that done. Then the 2 weeks downtime or 2 weeks and then I'm good. So second shot. I'm very excited.
Great.
Okay. For me, I am going to try to stop muttering. I have taken up muttering under my mask. I mean, I don't know how. I just am like talking and muttering all the time. Every time I put a mask on, I don't think it's a good habit.
Please stop muttering. Please.
Yeah. Once you're out of the house again, that's not going to work at all.
Not gonna be
Imagine how that's going to come across in the grocery store lines. You're muttering. You've just got candy and wine. You're muttering. That's not good.
Okay. I think let's all put that on our to-do list. Stop muttering. All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too,
Leanne.
And don't forget, call your Satellite Sisters.